Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission recently said it had opened an investigation paper on Court of Appeal Judge Datuk Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali. This following a report that was lodged based on a blog post claiming an unexplained sum in his bank account. Justice Nazlan presided over Najib Razak's SRC International Criminal Trial and had found him guilty on all seven charges. Now, the question is this investigation, as some critics suggest, a form of intimidation? Joining us now is Datuk Ma Weng Kwai. He is a retired Court of Appeal judge and former member of the Judicial Appointments Commission, also two-term Sahakam Commissioner. Datuk Ma, there's been some disquiet about the MACC probe. I'm wondering if you think those concerns have been misplaced.
Thank you very much, Melissa and Sharad, for having me on this program. Let me say right at the outset that no one is above the law. It speaks volumes in the sense that everyone is subject to the law. And if there is any allegation of wrongdoing, then of course there is this avenue for investigations. So if a report, in fact, there have been three reports lodged in this case, then of course MACC is actually duty bound to carry out the investigations. Now, the question that has been asked is it constitutional? Is it unprecedented and so on? So I think on the one hand, we have to consider the legality of the investigations. And on the other hand, to consider the very important role that's being carried out by the Judicial Ethics Committee. Whether or not this should have gone straight to the Ethics Committee is the other consideration. So I will say that the fact that MACC, and I believe they have started their investigations, they should quickly carry out the investigations and come to some finding so that the papers can be referred to the AGC. Because if this is allegation of monies in a bank account, I don't think it is really rocket science to have a quick investigation. It's been already, 1 month, 2 months? And the sooner a conclusion is drawn and the sooner a statement is made, either way, and especially if it exonerates the person, then I think it is most welcome.
There is, though, a problem. I think it resides in perhaps a trust deficit in our institutions, this idea of feeling that institutions, including the MACC, can be bent to the political will of individuals who are influential. That announcing this investigation, a kind of political campaign was launched. Now, what do you do with the kind of facts that exist in social media? Because, in fact, the allegations seem to have emanated from social media in an attempt to cast aspersions on this individual judge, and the context in which we understand the judge's involvement in high-profile political cases. So, what would you advise the public in trying to understand or to filter out the truth and untruth and such of this particular instance?
Right. While I say that the MACC has the power to investigate, but perhaps in this case, given the high profile of the nature of the case, that perhaps they should have gone. And I think there's one view that's been held quite widely is that they should have gone about their duties quietly do a quick investigation keep away from making public statements and so on. The best solution is to have a quick investigation be carried out. But on the other hand, that I'm wondering whether there was any consideration given to the possibility that this could have been well referred to the Ethics Committee and let the committee carry out the initial investigations and see whether or not there's any breach of the Code of Ethics.
So, you've referred to this Judicial Ethics Committee a couple of times now, and you began the conversation by saying that no one is above the law. Can you explain how what would be the proper course of action? Is this Ethics Committee the right avenue to investigate allegations of misconduct?
Right. The Judicial Ethics Committee established the Judges' Code of Ethics. And this goes back a long way, 1st of July 2009. And this is actually a committee to investigate any breaches of ethics, misbehavior, misconduct, and so on. And when there's a report that's referred to this committee, then of course the committee comprising of, you know, the CJ or, and the top judges, they will consider not whether there is a case to be dealt with. If there's none, of course, then the matter ends there. But if there is, then there is power to call the judge to answer. The question that's being debated is whether or not this is something, being a an allegation of corruption, being a criminal offense, whether this is within the jurisdiction of the committee. Well, the matter doesn't really end there, simply because while the sanctions by the committee is merely, well, some will say, oh, it is you know, either a warning or a suspension, but there's no power to remove a judge. And that has to be referred to a tribunal under a different clause under Article 125. But if there is some wrongdoing and the judge is actually pulled up, there's nothing thereafter, there's nothing to stop a criminal investigation to continue and to take to make investigations so that charges can be preferred against the judge concerned. So,
Dathima, I do want to ask you this. The consequence of a judge being found guilty of misconduct, what does it do to the cases that he or she has tried?
Ah, okay. This is a wide question, Sharad, in that if, let's say, there's a case of a complaint of a judge, a minor complaint of, say, not writing his grounds for years and years. Now, that's an actionable complaint because judges are required to write grounds of judgment within 8 weeks of the delivery of the decision. Now, if he doesn't write and he's being brought before the committee feels that he has been negligent or not carrying out his work, they could what do you call, give him a warning, amaran, or suspension. But it will only be very confined to the case that is in question. It will not affect other cases that he has already dealt with. So similarly, if there's an allegation of some misbehavior, and you know, it will be quite limited to the matters that's actually before the committee. It is not, you know, it won't be sort of a retrospective, and it voids all other decisions that he has made. No.
Okay, I see. Well, you know, so in some of the disquiet over the MACC probe, you know, there are those who say it's unconstitutional. They say this move violates the separation of the doctrine of separation of powers. It undermines the independence of the judiciary. I'm wondering if we could get into that a little bit more. What does it mean? What are the consequences of this, of perhaps undermining the independence of the judiciary? How does it undermine the independence of the judiciary?
Right. Difficult question. I hope I have an answer for you. Well, we all know about the three branches of government, yeah? And most certainly, they are supposed to be separate and independent, especially the judiciary being one of the three pillars of government. And so in this process, that's why there's provision for this ethics committee. And it's set up under the it's not just by some committee that's formed under the ROF or something like that. It's actually under the federal constitution. This provides for the Judicial Appointments Commission. It provides for the Ethics Committee. It provides for the Code of Ethics. So this is where, if a complaint has been brought, it has to be judged by the judge's peers. So there is provision for that. So if it is a matter like this one, where the allegation is very serious, they want to start off with a criminal investigation straight away, then of course, what comes into mind and the questions being asked, and I think it's only fair to say that a lot of people have been asking this question, is what is the context of this? Why is this being done at this particular time? Who is the judge concerned? What is the case that is under being talked about? So if it is you know, an unimportant case, and you know, stealing a chicken or a bicycle of no consequence or little consequence, then these important questions won't really arise. So I think we have to take it in that context. And I think importantly also is that the intention, what's the intention to have so much being said about the investigations? Why can't you just go about your work quietly and come to some quick conclusion? Then in return, a question will be asked. And I ask the same question. What about the report that's been lodged by the learned judge? What has happened to that? I have not heard a single word being said on the stage of investigations. So, I mean,
Datuma, if I can ask you in the last few minutes that we have with you, how do you rate the resilience of our institutions? I mean, the Malaysian judiciary has gone through ups and downs with its, with the crisis, you know, maybe way back in 1988, maybe distant in memory for people, but the reverberations from there continue. And I wonder if you personally feel that our institutions are resilient and can, you know, resist attempts to undermine them for the, in the interest of particular groups of individuals.
Yes, most certainly. I think we are resilient enough to weather this. 1988 was a very dark period. It took us a long time to recover. But with the steadfast role of the bar and every lawyer who is a member, who is mandatory to be a member of the bar, together, shoulder to shoulder with the judiciary, we will overcome this. So this is one report is causing a bit of a stir, but I think the sooner we wrap this up, it will be better in the long term. And being mindful of what the Honorable Chief Justice said in her speech, I think that was one of the most powerful speeches I've heard from a Chief Justice for a very, very long time. And by the way, this is my 50th year at the bar. So I've heard many Chief Justices speak, but this was one that was really powerful, and it that she does not mince the words. That really, if you have a cause of complaint, do it right, and that will be taken up. But if it is something which is, you know, corollary, and you're coming by the back door to make this, what they call implication, or making this innuendo, be very careful, because there is a law, and contempt of court is another avenue. Criminal defamation is also an avenue. So for every action, as I say, there's always a reaction. So I think, yeah, we have to be careful.
Right. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Datuk Ma Wing Kwai, former member of the Judicial Appointments Commission. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more on this topic. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. The probe by the MACC into senior judge Datuk Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali has triggered outcry from the legal fraternity. They view this move as violating the doctrine of separation of powers and undermining the independence of the judiciary. Joining us now is Karen Chia. She's the president of the Malaysian Bar. Karen, can you begin our conversation today by explaining a little bit why the bar has said that the MACC's investigation into Justice Nazlan is unconstitutional? How exactly is it unconstitutional?
Hi, thanks for having me on board, Melissa. Thanks. So we did issue a statement and we mentioned that it is unconstitutional for several reasons. Basically, we mentioned that there is a constitutional approach under our federal constitution, and specifically we are looking at Article 125 of the federal constitution, and we are saying that this is the approach that should be taken whenever we're talking about investigations, especially on a sitting judge, especially on superior court judges. And the entire Article 125 really is enacted because we need to preserve the independence of the judiciary as an institution. So what we see actually is that we are not saying that the judges are above the law. We are not saying that they are immune. We're just saying that there are specific approaches or processes within the federal constitution that has got to be taken whenever we are talking about investigations by MECC or the police authorities on the kind of misconduct that's being levied against the individual. Right.
Karen, I read somewhere that the MECC responded saying that actually it's within their purview to investigate public officials, and that includes, in their opinion, judges as well. This under the MACC Act 2009. Is that how you understand it, that judges are seen to be public officials who are also subjected to MACC investigations?
Well, the Malaysian Bar would probably be taking issue with the definition of what a public official is. Yes, we see it on the face of it. The provisions of the MACC Act does talk about public official to include Superior Court judges. And it is on this basis that we are probably, going to probably dispute that definition because we think that it is in contravention of Article 132 of the Federal Constitution, which exempts the Superior Court judges. So one of the things that we may be looking at is possibly commencing a legal suit in order to declare that provision under the MECC to be unconstitutional.
Karen, many of us don't have legal training and probably view much of what happens in Malaysia through very political lenses. And I wonder if you can walk us through the consequences of, in a hypothetical case, somebody who's aggrieved because they've been convicted by a particular judge, using the law to then cast aspersions on the judge in order to at least win some positive feedback in the court of public opinion. I mean, are these possibilities that we need to think about when we look at this specific case?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there is so much of ramification that happens when a person lodges a complaint or raises certain issues that undermines the confidence of the public in the judges or in the judiciary. So what we have seen here in this MACC incident is that it would have the effect of actually instilling some kind of fear on sitting judges who are actually still hearing cases, in order to come to decisions which may not necessarily be in favor of executives, and therefore, they are therefore not given the space in order to exercise their judicial duties properly. And so we want to be able to avoid this kind of situation. Those are the ramifications, where you see it cannot be as simple as just raising an allegation or just lodging a complaint or just, writing an article in a blog. Because that really opens up judges completely to an attack very easily.
Right. Karen, I read the opinion piece that Tun Hamid Mohamad wrote, the former Chief Justice wrote, and he was of the opinion that, well, actually, the MACC should be allowed to do their job because this allegation is not a general allegation against the judiciary. It is in fact an allegation that is against a particular judge. Can I ask you, how do you view that argument? Does that argument have any standing?
Well, that actually brings us back to that approach that I was talking about earlier on, which was that constitutional approach. I believe the CJ, in his article, referred to our Bar Council's statement quite substantially, and perhaps reading a lot into what was not said in the statement. I think let's just take the statement that I issued on face value. I do not believe that we said anything about, again, then cannot be any investigation, or that the judges should be given proper treatment, or that they're above the law. I think none of those things were in my statement. We basically just said, look, let's take that approach that has been provided for under the Constitution. So that's all it was. I believe Yeo Yang Po had actually also issued a statement. Yeo Yang Po, being an ex-Malaysian bar president, had also issued a statement refuting some of the contents in the ex-CJ's article.
Yeah, Karen, could you walk us through what that constitutional approach would look like and how it differs from what's happened?
Very simply and briefly, when we're looking at criminal investigations that's supposed to be carried out either by the MECC or the police authorities, and let's not forget, these are two authorities which comes under the branch within the control of the executives. And so, therefore, Article 125 talks about a separate independent way of looking at it, where it is the judiciary themselves being independent, they themselves will look into that investigation. So any kind of complaints would have to be made in writing to the Chief Justice, and the Chief Justice would then have to take a look and assess the gravity or the seriousness of that complaint in order to ensure whether or not, you know, this is something which is frivolous or whether this is something which is of substance, and then we carry out from there. So the Chief Justice would have to be approached first.
Okay. All right. Well, I also understand that the bar is planning to hold an EGM to address this. And we heard a little bit earlier from Datuk Ma, who reminded us of the role the bar played in helping the Malaysian judiciary through some of its darker periods in its history. Can you perhaps tell us what might the role of the bar be in perhaps in possible options moving forward to address some of these concerns that there might be judicial intimidation?
So, Melissa, the role of the Malaysian Bar has always been to uphold the cause of justice without fear or favour, and to, of course, prefer our views when it comes to matters affecting the legislation or matters affecting decisions or policies that's been taken up by the government in order for it to conform with the rule of law. And in this particular case, we see this as an attack on the judiciary as an institution and to undermine the confidence of the public on the judiciary or maybe even the judge himself. And we play an important role because we've always spoken up in order to uphold that independence of the judiciary. This is very important to us because we deal with the administration of justice system in the country, and the judiciary plays an important role within our democratic system. When the 1988 judicial crisis happened, which was the sacking of our Lord President, we saw this as one of the darkest moments in Malaysia in the attack on judiciary. And then we also went through a second big incident, which was the VK Lingam video back in 2007, which was on the issue of judge fixing. Also, very important event because we saw that as the judiciary being compromised in terms of who is sitting in the judiciary. And I see this actually as another event which also attacks on the independence of the judiciary. And so we speak up because it's important to us that the judiciary is independent. As you said earlier on, the separation of powers is something which is which we hold very dear to our hearts. The judiciary has to be independent and it has to be strong enough to withstand these kind of attacks. And it cannot be under the rule and thumb of the executives or the legislative.
Karen, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. That was Karen Chia, President of the Malaysian Bar, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. And good night.